Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence again. Thank you for the word you have set to share with us today. And we pray that no one will return back the same way, in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic remains, how to determine who is worthy of your trust. Last week, the topic we looked at is trustworthiness, the secret path to good success. Trustworthiness, the secret path to good success. Okay, so today we are looking at how to determine who is worthy of your trust. You know, in life, we always have to live with people, and no one can actually succeed alone. You need people to help you succeed. If you want to expand, if you want to increase, and if you want to see greatness in life, then you will need to do it through people. But you can only do it through the people you have chosen to trust. So today we want to look at the things to consider, all the check marks for you to be able to select the right people in your life. So we are looking majorly at 12 secrets for making the right people choice in life and business. So we want to read some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's NIV. Then 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Then Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Those are the scriptures. People early change. I think that is one thing you need to write down and keep at the back of your mind. That people do not change. Do people change? Yes. But tell yourself that people will not change. It will save you a lot of headache, and it will save you a lot of people headaches in life. Because over my life, I've seen how people remain the same consistently. Even when they think they have changed, even when they claim to have been born again, they still retain a lot of the old character in themselves. So it is safer for you and I to keep it at the back of your minds that people will not really change, that they will remain the same way they are. So for example, if you want to get married to someone, tell yourself that this person will not change. Whatever I see now before marriage is what I'm going to see in marriage. If you want to do business with someone, tell yourself that this person I want to do business with, whatever character he has right now is what he's going to have in business. For example, if somebody tells lies, just tell yourself that this person will continue to tell lies. If you want to do business with somebody who tells lies, then fine, go ahead. But don't ever begin to think on the positive line that this person is going to change his ways. No. Tell yourself that whatever I'm seeing right now is what I'm going to see. In fact, tell yourself that you may see worse. It is safer that way. So if someone lied the first time, expect it again the second time, the third time, the opt-in time, expect it. So your success, expansion, and greatness in life is determined by who you have chosen to trust. Whether the spouse you want to marry, business partners, employees, you want to do business, the person you have chosen to trust will actually determine the course of that business or the course of that life that you have chosen to have. So, what are the dangers of trusting the wrong person? The danger of trusting the wrong person could be as fatal as death. It's not just all the ordinary things of life that you can experience, all the negative things. It can be as fatal as death if you choose the wrong person. For example, there's a popular preacher that, you know, I don't like mentioning people when it comes to negative things. He is the one that shared this story himself. He said when he wanted to get married, he met this lady. And somehow, in his spirit, he felt, no, I shouldn't marry this person. But of course, the person was good. For him to choose that person, it means the person must have all the traits and characters, the things the person should have. But somehow, the Holy Spirit cautioned him and said, that is not the person I want for you. So, because of that, he decided not to continue with the marriage. He cut the relationship off. And some people that knew them together said, actually, we think you have done the right thing because that person is not for you. But somehow, he went again into the relationship and they got married. Down the line, I think several years in the marriage, this same person they got married to was caught by some private investigators planning how to kill him. You know, this person became promiscuous, started going into adultery, then planning with the person she was going out with to kill this man of God. Then this person, of course, started asking for divorce. So he had no choice than to get divorced. This man became divorced for several years. Why? Because he went with the wrong person. So there are dangers. What if he didn't detect that this person was going to kill him? He will have died. Because God will have said, I actually told you never to start in the first place. God is not going to force any one of us in anything we want to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20 that he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So God says if you walk with wise people, you are going to become wise. But if you keep company with those who are fools, he said the person is going to be destroyed. That will not be your portion. That will not be my portion in Jesus' name. So if we keep walking with the wrong people, then he says we are walking with destruction. That's what he's saying. What are the dangers of trusting the wrong person? The decision of those you have chosen to trust may make or mar your destiny. If you have put Jonah in your ship, expect that the storm is coming. It's just a matter of time. If Jonah is in your ship, the storm will come for him. Not because of you, but because of the wrong person. So let's take time from today that before you choose friends, before you call people friends, before you call, say, I want to get married to this person, before you say, I want to do business with this person, be careful to choose rightly. What are the dangers of trusting the wrong person? Friction. You always have issues, arguments. You want to go this way, the person wants to go that way because you are never meant to be together. If in business, for example, you want to stand by righteousness and do the right thing, this person wants to do the wrong thing and just make money. So you are always going to have issues. Friction, arguments, debt. For example, if you are with the wrong person, the person may plot your debt just to be able to take over the business. Or if you have a lot of money and you are married, the person may just want to kill you and take over the money. So many issues. Loss of divine presence. For example, see Lot in the Bible. He went away from Abraham. In the first place, there was no covenant on his life. But because he walked with the right person, he started prospering. And he started having a fight with the person through which he was prospering. He didn't know it. Then he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess what? He lost everything in a single sweep. Why? Because he cut off from the right person and went to associate with the wrong people. He took the grace of God and intercession of Abraham to keep him safe. He would have just died with those people because God didn't want to have any covenant with him in the first place. So if you and I as Christians associate with wrong people, am I saying we should not talk to people? Of course we should, but we are talking about covenant works, things that have to do with life and destiny. Then we must choose carefully. What are the risks of working with wrong people? Loss of divine presence. We mentioned a lot. Then loss of God's voice. Guess what? God never told Abraham to go with Lot. He said, get out of your people. But Abraham took alongside a handbag that he didn't need. That was Lot. And he started having arguments, friction, issues. And guess what? Throughout that period in the Bible, I don't think God spoke any word to Abraham. It was just silent until Abraham departed. Then God started talking to him again. So you can actually miss the voice of God because you are in company with the wrong people. I pray God will keep guiding us and helping us to make the right choice in life in Jesus' name. What are the 12 secrets for making the right people choice in life and business? That's why we are here today. And I believe we should take this very seriously. These 12 secrets were revealed by God. I didn't plan them. I didn't read any special book for them. They were just coming. I didn't even think about taking this topic. So let's take it very seriously. We can write them down, please. We must take time to vet and filter those we trust with our time and resources. God said to test every spirit. 1 John 4:1. He said, test every spirit. If you are to test every spirit, why shouldn't you test every person? You must filter them. You must check them. You must vet them. Especially if you are going to take a decision with them, a partnership with them in any form, you must make sure you vet them very well with these 12 points. Number one, check their past records. We mentioned last week about ex-convicts that because someone is an ex-convict, he may lose all advantages in life, in society especially. Nobody wants to give him a job because he has stolen before. He was jailed for stealing. He may steal again. That's what everybody believes. So check the past records of people. Am I saying people cannot change? People can change if they truly dedicate to Christ. But you still want to be careful with anybody you want to go out with. Check their past records. History often repeats itself. If they stole before, they are most likely going to steal again. Check their past records. Number two, what is the most important thing to them? What is the most important thing to people? You want to check that out. If you want to marry somebody, you want to become a business partner with somebody, what is the most important thing to them? Is it money? Is it women? Is it men? Is it affluence? Is it influence? Fleshly enjoyment? Somebody just want to party all his life and you want to live with this person for the rest of your life. It's just a matter of time. You're going to start partying with this person. Whatever that person does, you start doing it. Now, let me explain something that I understood while preparing for this. Your flesh wants to go on its own way. Your soul has a lot of struggles. It's only your spirit that wants to follow God. The Bible talks about our soul that is being saved. It's not yet saved. It's being saved. It's being transformed. It's being changed. That's why the Bible keeps talking about transforming our mind, our soul. But our spirit is born again. It is pure. Now, the spirit is the engine that controls every other thing. Now, imagine if you have a car. The engine may be working properly. But you've seen cars before that when the car is coming, it looks as if the car is going to the left. But the car is coming straight. But because the body has a lot of issues. That's how our flesh is. The flesh doesn't have any mind. It just follows whatever dictates the spirit and the soul give to him. Whatever enjoyment you have in your flesh, it is actually the soul that enjoys it. For example, if somebody fornicates, what really enjoys? Yes, the body enjoys a little, but the soul is in the soul. It's all in the mind. Now, the soul, the flesh, they are trying to work against the spirit. That means you already have two people you are fighting with every day. The battlefield of the mind. Now, you are joining somebody else who is also going in that direction. That makes them three people against you. It's just a matter of time. You start following them. So you want to be sure of what is important to these people. If what is important to these people is just to make money, it doesn't care about what happens to other people. Before you know it, your business will start going to drug. You start doing all the wrong things. For example, if you are selling a product that people consume. Now, when you started your business alone, you are always thinking about, oh, this thing should be safe. It should be okay. People should not be hurt by this product. But when you brought in the third party, the person is saying, excuse me, we need to make money. Now, this person can even make decisions that will affect you. They will make sure that law enforcement agencies are looking for you because you are partners. How do you explain it that you are not part of the game? So you need to be very careful when choosing people like that. You want to be sure what is important to this person. Then number three, who is the most important person to them? Who? Is it God? Is it people? Who is more important to this person? If God is more important to them, then they want to please God. Then you are on a safe side. You are very, very safe because they want to please God at all times. That is very important. Who is more important to them? You see what people say? See Saul in the Bible. Saul that started on the path of God, started following people. He started listening to what people said. People became more important to him than God. And guess what? He went away from Samuel. He went the wrong way and he missed it because God was no longer more important to him. But David, even though David sinned and did a lot of wrong things, but God was more important to him. And see what, it still ended well. So if you are working with somebody, if you are living with somebody, if you are going to make a decision that will affect your life, your destiny with somebody, then you want to check what and who is more important to this person. Then number four, how far can they go to get whatever they want to get? You know people who don't care. They just want to get whatever they want to get. They don't care who is out along the line. Of course, that definitely cuts them out from good success. Because for good success to happen, this person must care about what happens. Who is hurt when I'm trying to pursue my dreams? Will somebody be hurt? Will somebody be unhappy? They are careful about this. But if they don't care, then you don't want to follow them. To what extent are they willing to go to get whatever they want to get? Some people, they don't care. I want to make money and I want to make money. I don't care what I do. I must have money. When you see someone like that, what do? Run. Don't take any great decision with this person. Don't go further with this person. How far can they go to get whatever they want to get? Number one, check their past records. Number two, what is the most important thing to them? And number three, who is the most important person to them? Number four, how far can they go to get whatever they want to get? Number five, who do they want to please? Who do they want to please? Somebody may be important to you and you don't want to please the person. Now, this is saying, who do they want to please? Is it God? Is it their family? Is it friends? Is it peers? Peer pressure? Is that what they are buying to? Or they want to just please God? Who do they want to please? I'm sure many of us know that in some organizations, they won't commit some things onto you except you are married. Because now they know that you care about your family. Before you take a decision, you are like, I have children. I have a wife. I have family. I have parents. Then, whatever I do, there are people who I must please with my life. Now, you want to check, who does this person want to please? I've met someone before, and I'm so disappointed. Somebody who claims to be born again. There is nobody we can trace to that person that he honors, or that he wants to please, or that he wants to care about. Nobody. And this person claims to be a child of God. So, before you marry, check. These traits have always been there. Does this person listen to anyone? Who do they want to please? That is another point to check. That's number 5. Then number 6. What comes out of them when they are under pressure? The pressure of life and situations. What comes out of them? You've been a friend with this person. You've been working with this person. You've been doing things with this person. And anytime there's a problem, the person talks negatively. He says, let me just die. I hate all this. You're like, excuse me. You must begin to check. These are pointers. What comes out of them when they are under pressure? And you know what? There's something good about pressure. When you're under pressure, pressure forces out of you what has always been there. The inherent things, the things that has always been hidden inside of you, pressure forces it out. You've seen people that beat their wife when they are drunk. They couldn't beat their wives before because they didn't have something to push it out. But now that they are under the influence of spirit, that's alcohol, now that is pushing out of them what has always been there. So pressure will put out of you what has always been there. You want to check, what does this person do when he's under pressure? If this person is excited, what does he do? Some people, when they are excited, then they want to drink the whole alcohol of life in their life. Then you want to check, what does he do when he's under pressure? Then number 6, mind what people say when they are excited. I just mentioned it. Some people, when they are excited, they just lose it all. They say all manner of things. They don't even want to acknowledge God again. They say, yes, I did it. Then you begin to see who this person honors. What do they do when they're excited? You want to check. Then number 8, who do they acknowledge when they have success or victory? Who do they acknowledge? Do they give glory to God? Or they say, yes, I did it. It shows selfishness. Do they even acknowledge the people that were part of the team that made it a success for them to achieve whatever they achieved? Do they acknowledge anybody? Or they just bring all the glory to themselves? You want to check. Do they give glory to God? Do they acknowledge the people that made it a success? That helped them to achieve the success they achieved? Do they acknowledge anyone? These are things you must also check. Then number 9, very, very important. Who do they defend in negative situations? I will explain this further. On whose side do they stand in situations? Have you heard people before? Maybe when you are even watching a movie or something, somebody went to steal or thieves. They robbed successfully and they are like, yes, wow, that's a good work they did. And you're like, excuse me, you are supporting robbers? And he doesn't see anything bad with it. It's just a matter of time. He also may take up his guns to go and steal. Or do negative things. That means he supports negative things. He doesn't see anything wrong with negative things. For example, somebody doesn't watch pornography, but he doesn't see anything wrong with people watching pornography. Begin to take caution. Somebody doesn't drink, but he keeps company with all the drinkers in the world. They are his best friends. They are the only ones he wants to talk to. They are the ones he takes advice from. He doesn't drink, but he's always around smokers. He's always around those who smoke, those who drink, those who do negative things. Somebody just cheated on his wife and he didn't see anything wrong with it. Then you must begin to check, because he's most likely going to do that very soon. It's both male and female. Now, do they keep quiet against injustice? Somebody did the wrong thing and they don't see anything wrong with injustice. Do they keep quiet, or they feel like, man, we should do something about this. We should find a way to help this person out of this injustice. What do they do? On whose side do they stand in negative situations or any kind of situation? Do they justify sin and make jest of righteousness? For example, you've seen people that call those who do the right thing, they call them Jews. They say, it's just a Jew. Now, somebody who is making jest of somebody who is doing the right thing, you must be careful how much of commitment you give to this person. In business, in life, in marriage, whatever commitment, long-term commitment you want to give, you need to be careful. If he doesn't see anything wrong with sin or unrighteousness, then he is also going to be in unrighteousness very soon. It's just a matter of time. Then, do they make jest of those who are falling instead of helping them up? You see people that, maybe you heard about a major pastor that just fell into the sin of adultery. Now, this person went to his Instagram page. He's the first person that published it. Instead of finding a way to say, oh God, this person fell, he needs to feel it. He needs to be sorry for this person. But the first thing he did was to proclaim it to the whole world. You need to be careful about people like that. Because if you fall, they will be the one to proclaim it to. See what Joseph did in the Bible. Even when he thought Mary had fallen into fornication, they said Joseph wanted to leave her quietly. She didn't want to make a public example of her. That's Joseph. That's a man of integrity. But other people, man, they will announce to the whole world, put the picture of the person there, tell the whole world that this person has sinned. But what did Joseph do? He kept it a secret. He wanted to just put Mary away quietly before the Holy Spirit said, no, I am the one in charge of this pregnancy. Mary did not sin. God saw his heart. God knew him. So the question for you and I is, that person you want to commit to, is also for you and I too. You, do you publish people's sins or you try to cover it for them? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Praise God. Then number 10, who do they hold in high esteem? Very important. If you are working with somebody, you want to live with somebody, you want to do business with somebody who doesn't hold anybody in high esteem, you better run. Because there is nobody to report him to. He doesn't honor anybody. He doesn't respect anyone. We need to be careful. Then number 11, very, very important. Who trusts this person you want to trust? All the people that you know who are making right decisions, that you respect, they don't trust this person. For example, you want to get married and your pastor says, I don't trust this guy. And you're in the same church and your pastor is saying, I don't trust this guy. You better run for your life. Because your pastor knows everybody more than you. Or maybe even if it's not married, now business. The people you know, they are saying, that guy, I don't trust that guy. You better don't trust him too. Because the people you know don't trust him, don't trust him too. It's just a matter of wisdom. Foolish people trust foolish people. So you are looking at who trusts this person. If only foolish people, people take foolish decisions, who do wrong things, who walk in sin, who just live their lives in unrighteousness, they are the ones who trust this person. You must begin to see a red light. Because foolish people will trust foolish people. Wise people will trust wise people. So you don't want to trust somebody that only the foolish people trust in life. No. Who trusts them? You can almost trust those trusted by those you respect and trust. So if those you respect that person and trust that person, you can almost go ahead to trust that person too. Because those you know that make wise decisions, they are trusting these people, 1, 2, 3. Then you can be safe, almost always. Then number 12, who do they trust? We just looked at who trusts them, then who do they trust? Foolish people trust deceivers. Now, if you look at somebody and you want to do business with that person or you want to live with that person for the rest of your life, and you look at all the people he works with, all the people he trusts, all the people he commits things to, they are not people you want to associate with. They are not people who believe in God. They are not people who honors God. Then you better run. Because like attracts like. If all the people he likes or she likes or he relates with are unbelievers, are people that don't fear God, then he also doesn't fear God. That's just the truth. So you want to be careful to check who that person trusts. Then we also have a number 13. You know, we said 12 points. But this 13th one is stronger than the old 12. That's why we didn't add it to the list of the 12. It says, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It overrides all other pointers to trustworthiness you may have. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share some examples. When I was starting out my business, I knew somebody who was good in an aspect that I wasn't good at. Very good in the aspect. It was good in the aspect, but I wasn't good in the aspect. He wasn't good in the aspect I was good at. and I wanted to tell the person that, oh, let's start this business together. You know, you are good in this aspect, I'm good in this aspect, which sounded like a wise decision to take. But the Holy Spirit gave one word that sounded like a rhyme. He said, don't form an ally with a lie. It sounds like, you know, poem, right? He says, don't form an ally with a lie. What is the meaning of that? He says, don't form partnership. Don't become a partner with somebody who has backslided, because Eli represents a backsliding prophet. A prophet who wasn't hearing God again. This person was sound in the spirit before, but somehow this person just started walking away, doing things that the people of the world do. And God told me one line, don't form an ally with Eli. That voice of the Holy Spirit was enough to silence any other reason I may have. So the same way, the voice of the Holy Spirit is enough to silence any other pointer you may have that makes this person right or even wrong. Once you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, every other thing becomes secondary. Just go with the voice of the Holy Spirit, especially if it is the negative. If the Holy Spirit says, don't go, just don't go. If you hear go, then you want to confirm if it's a go by now checking the other 12 points. Then number B, example. This is another example of Mike Murdock. He said when they wanted to purchase the Wisdom Center, the church, he said he saw this building very good, looked like what he wanted. But funny enough, the realtor told him that the person who owns the building doesn't want to sell it to you because he doesn't like men of God. They said they tried to persuade him. They did everything. He said they were on it over and over again. Finally, this man agreed to sell the building. He said the moment the man agreed to sell the building, he lost his peace. He lost his joy. I was like, Holy Spirit, what's happening? Now that we got what we wanted, that this person is ready to sell, why did I lose my joy? The Holy Spirit said, I wasn't in the transaction. I was like, so all this while I've been stressing myself, what happened? And I think the Holy Spirit said, you didn't ask me about it. You didn't ask me. So we want to be sure that the Holy Spirit is involved. He's the one saying, go. He's the one giving the green light. Now, another example, which is the third example before we close. When I wanted to get married, I met this lady, wonderful lady, that I was thinking about. You know, everything about her looked like she should be the one I should get married to. Then I remember vividly, I was in Canaan Land then. I think we had a Youth Alive program, and I was in Canaan Land. And I remember where I sat, at the back of the choir. And I asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying about this person? Straight away, it was like he was waiting for me to ask, and he just said, no, that is not the person. And that was the end of it. Thank God I didn't marry the person. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit said no, and I said no. So the pointers may be right. All the 12 points may be right, but the Holy Spirit may still say no. So this is the most important point for you in choosing whoever you want to trust with anything in life. Then lastly, there was a time I wanted to choose a staff. And guess what? Out of all the people that I found, I've been looking for people who are good. Then I eventually found somebody who was good in that aspect. And when I wanted to go ahead, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't choose anybody from this community. I can't mention where that person's from. But the Holy Spirit said, from all those community of people, don't choose anyone. I was like, ha. These are the people who are good in this aspect. But the Holy Spirit just said, no. And I went away from there. I don't know what will have happened, but I'm just saying all this to show us that it is very important for us to make sure we listen to the Holy Spirit. Apart from all the 12 points we mentioned, the Holy Spirit part is the most important part. And finally, understanding the worth of trustworthiness and its impact on life and destiny demands that you and I indeed take every step to determine who is worthy of your trust. Because this will determine success, it will determine whether you have joy along the line, and it will determine whether you even make heaven, or whether the person's destiny will be cut short. I pray that none of our destinies will be cut short in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come to the end of the episode, and we may make any contribution, ask any question. If you have any question, you are free to unmute yourself and ask while prepare to close. Has anyone been blessed today?
Yes, sir. I have questions, sir.
Okay.
There are some times that I do pray. I want to talk about hearing from Holy Spirit. That okay. Most times I do pray, but I don't hear from the Holy Spirit. Like, when I pray, I just believe that, okay, it has been answered. So how am I going to know that I should go ahead or I should stop? Is the Holy Spirit that is going to tell me? Because maybe through dream or any other thing. So that's what I want to ask. That most times I do pray, and maybe I'm expecting something, and I pray, hoping that, okay, it will happen. Or I might even do something that at the end of the day, blaming myself that I will not do this thing. So I want to ask that, is it everybody that hears from the Holy Spirit, or there are other ways that we can hear from God apart from the Holy Spirit? That's what I want to ask, sir.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other question?
I have a question, sir.
Okay, please go ahead.
All right. Okay, so I want to ask that. In case one has been a friend to someone, and
okay.
One just feels like, okay, maybe I'm not supposed to be friend to this person anymore. How can someone distance themselves from such person so that, and it should not be like you are condemning the person, or in a way that will not be offensive and that is not segregative to. I just want to
okay.
Keep your distance but not condemn the person.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other question? That's all for today. Okay, so I'll try my best. The Holy Spirit will also help. So number one, everybody, every child of God, anyone who is born again, can hear the Holy Spirit, can hear God. Everybody who is a child of God. The Bible says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So number one, we must know that it is your right. It is not some pastors or some special Jim brothers or some prophets that should hear God. Everyone, as a child of God, has the right. Understand it as a right, not just as a privilege. It is a right for everyone. That's one. Then, two, to hear the Holy Spirit, you need to understand how He speaks. You need to understand all the ways by which the Holy Spirit speaks. Number one, He speaks by a voice. You can hear His voice say, this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. That's one. You can hear His voice through the Bible. Like, if for example you want to hear something now, you want to pray about something that you know is destiny related, you can pray and fast for, like, let's say plan to pray and fast for like 3 days. Now start reading the Bible and other books related to that decision you want to take. Another way is, while you are praying and fasting, you can talk to somebody you know can give you an advice. While the person is talking, you will know what to do. Not because the person is telling you the right thing. Sometimes God uses the person to tell you the right thing. But while the person is talking, you just know exactly what to do among what they say. That's another way. Then there is another way, through dreams and visions or trances, that you can dream about it and you hear God and you see what you should do, or you see the dangers ahead. That is another way. Then there's a way of trance or vision that you can, even daylight during normal time, you can just see, it's just like a television, you just see the future of what is going to happen. That is another way. Now, of all these ways of hearing God, we must be careful not to put God in a corner and think this is the only way God will hear, or think this is how God is going to speak to me. Yeah, there's another way that I need to mention, which is, I think, the most important way. Peace in your spirit. Not in your body, not in your head, in your spirit. Now, this one is what every believer should have. For example, you want to buy something or you want to go on a journey, and in your spirit, you are just like, I'm feeling, you think it's just normal feeling. But when you think about it, it doesn't make sense. You're like, I'm feeling like I should not go to this place. You ask yourself, why? Did you hear any negative thing about that journey? No. Is there something wrong with the car you want to take? No. Did somebody say you should not come? No. But somehow you just feel, I should not go. You better don't go. Because I believe if you are right with God, you are serving God, you are born again and living a sinless life, then that is the Holy Spirit telling you, don't go on that journey. And sometimes it may not actually be, don't go on that journey. It could just be you pray, very well to cancel all the negative things that may be on that journey. You don't know what it is, but just know that somehow I don't feel like I should go. And it could also be on the other way. You don't really wish to go, but you feel like going. For example, it happens to me over and over again. Somebody just keeps coming to my mind, call this person. There is no reason why I should call the person. I don't feel like calling the person. It just comes to my mind, call the person. Maybe somebody is pregnant. I didn't talk to the person for a long time. Just like, call this person. Most times, by the time I call, it's most likely that the person is going to give birth or has given birth. Something is just that if I delay it and I don't call, the person just call me like one day later that I just give birth. I'm like, and it's always been on my spirit. Or it just comes to my mind that I call this person and I didn't call. And the person now tell me that, oh, this is what happened. So don't neglect that voice of the Holy Spirit. It is popularly called the still small voice. It is the most important. Because if you wake up in your dream and you have a dream about the future, it is the still small voice that will tell you whether this dream is from God or the devil. Because the devil can show you dreams too. It can show you a picture of the future, which is not the picture that God wants you to have. The devil can do it. He can manipulate. But he cannot manipulate your spirit. So this check is more like green light, red light. You want to take a decision. Something your spirit just keeps drawing you back. Like, don't do it, don't do it. And it's like there's a fear in your heart that if I do this thing, something will be wrong. You better just relax. If you don't know what to do, pray about it. Then you will have the direction on what to do. But for you to hear the Holy Spirit very well, you must be a student of the Bible. Because the Bible is what you use to judge whether this is what God is saying or not. For example, you had a dream that you are married to somebody who is an unbeliever. You saw a prophet on the road and say, that person in your office, you must marry him. He's an unbeliever. He doesn't believe in God. He drinks, he smokes, he does all manner of wrong things. Now you had a dream. Somebody told you. But you can know from the Bible that that is not God talking to you. You can filter it with the word you already know in the Bible. That no. The Bible says, evil communication corrupts good manners. What relationship does light and darkness have? That one settles it. No matter who has told you to go ahead, you better don't listen. Because you know what the Bible says about this matter. Because of our time, we can talk more on this. Then just to jump to another question. Now, like Bishop Oyedepo used to say that, friendship is not by force, it is by choice. If somebody's relationship with you is hurtful, it's going to hurt your future, you can decide to leave. But for example, if it is, you know, an emotional relationship, tending, you know, you're planning marriage, and you already see the red light, just find the easiest way to break up. Stop communication. There are different ways of doing this. Reduce communication. Start with communication. Reduce it. Become busy. Say that person cannot talk to you. The person will begin to see, if the person is mature, the person will begin to sense that something is wrong. But there are some, that one is, you know, you have some emotional relationship, attachment and all that. You don't want to break the heart of this person anyhow. Now you do it gradually and start keeping a distance. That one is there. But there are some that you have to end it abruptly. Maybe when you find out something negative about this person, you can just end it. Because that person also knows that there's something wrong. You have every reason to end it. But in every way, just know that your life is more important. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. That means you have to love yourself first before you can even learn how to love your neighbor. So, in that kind of relationship, yes, people can say whatever they want. You need to cut it off. I've had to cut off many friendships, many relationships. If I see that this is not going the right way, I just begin to pull away. So, it is your life. Don't mind what the person thinks or whether the person will blackmail you or say something negative about you. But above all, everything can be settled in prayer. Everything. Everything. You can say, Father, I decree that there's a separation between me and this person. This person will begin to see that we are not together. Start it by prayer. Anything you start by prayer can always end well. You are sure about that. So the easiest way is start ending that relationship by prayer. Whether it is business relationship, whether it's friendship, whatever it is, we are not going the same way. The Bible says that he who partners with the wise will be wiser. He said, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. I thought it should be the companion of fools will be foolish. No. But because foolishness also leads to destruction, say the companion of fools will be destroyed. So if this person is foolish, in quotes, then end it so that you won't be destroyed. That is how I can address that. If you still have more questions, we can talk about it later. And then I want to believe you've been helped in one way or the other. Have your questions been answered?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence again today. Thank you for your word of truth, your word of life that you've sent our way. We pray, Lord, that grace to take the right decisions and to filter out relationships so that we won't end up in the destruction that comes from the companion of fools. Father, release that grace to us in Jesus' name. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining. Let's see you next week and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week. Bye.
TheGoodSuccess.com